Hello, everybody, and here it is, the last, the final, the ultimate ICC Chess FM podcast from the Dresden Olympiad. This is Meg Greengard of ChessNinja.com bringing you the final wrap-up here from this amazing event, and what a final round as well. You can tell I'm still stoked, I think is the 80s word, if I want to date myself a little bit. Really quite a sensational round. We've got all the standings, all the results, all the board prizes, and all just about anything you could possibly ask for the Olympiad wrap-up coming at you right now. So lots of good stuff, and thanks for joining us once again, and I hope you've been enjoying these podcasts brought to you by ICC Chess FM, and I hope you've been enjoying the live coverage as well on the ICC. Always lots of fun to hang out with the crew there. It's a lot more entertaining, really. It's like kind of like going to a very big rowdy sports bar to watch a football game or something. So it's good stuff. So quite a show we had today in the final round. Armenia coming in, playing China on the top board, and USA, Ukraine and Armenia coming in with the shared lead. And if both teams won, it was going to get down to, you know, counting the tiebreak points. Looked like Armenia would have an advantage. And again, board points do matter in these tiebreaks. Again, there's this giant logjam of teams because the board points are so conservative. But they do calculate depending on how much you beat teams when there's ties. So to break ties, that's important. There are quite a few teams still with medal chances in the open section coming into the final round because of those complicated tie breaks. And often it depends on, as we talked about, you know, yesterday, comes down to how well your opponents do against other people, and you have to start watching, you know, games that are going down 50 boards away from you, just to see if you can eke out an extra tiebreak point or two. And it did get pretty close today, but not close enough to stop Armenia from winning its second consecutive gold medal at the Olympiad. Really amazing, considering that they are not even among the top five teams by ALO rating, neither time, actually. In 2006 in Turin when they won gold, or here, and they seem to have discovered some method, and they are using a specific technique, I must say. It's hard to say whether they're winning because of this or despite it, but as I mentioned the other day, both times they've gone with this four-player system of just pretty much jettisoning their reserves, or picking four players they figure in best form and just running with those horses all the way to the end. And again, it paid off for them here. Aronian, Akopian, Sargsyan, and Petrosyan winning the gold medal in Dresden. And they did so by virtue of a win again today against China, the third seed. Got it on fourth board. Tigran Petrosyan beating yesterday's hero, well, round 10's hero, Li Chao of China, who pulled out that long win against Jones of England to put them in contention for the gold medal here. And instead, it was him going down defeat here today to Petrosyan in a nice game. So that made Armenia at least guaranteed a share of first place and possible tie breaks, depending on what happened with Ukraine. So we moved down to Ukraine, started with 17 points, playing a USA team, outrating USA on every board, not drastically, I should say. You know, Ivanch, of course, a very high rating, 27.86, coming in against Kamsky. Then we had Sergey Karyakin against Nakamura, and then Pavel Elyanov versus Alexander Onischuk, and Zahar Fomenko versus Yuri Shulman, and this would be a key match of the day, medal-wise. And so things got off to a pretty big start when Gata Kamsky blew Vasily Ivanchuk's French defense off the board, just stuffing him in the sort of ground-and-pound position that Kamsky plays as well as anybody in the world, and just tied Ivanchuk up in knots and took him apart. So a very nice win to start things off. Not long after that, Onischuk scored as well, also with the white pieces, and it looked like Nakamura was going to make things even worse. Again, if you remember, we talked about these calculations in the last podcast. There was a way, it required some rather fabulous coincidences for the United States to repeat as bronze medalist, but it required not only help on other in other matches, for example, Spain had to beat or at least tie Russia, which seemed very unlikely. They're giving up massive points on most boards. So they also needed to absolutely demolish Ukraine, which, okay, I love my homeboys there on the USA team, but that seemed very unlikely. Ukraine here, a second-ranked team, you know, very, very strong top to bottom, been playing very well lately as well, top to bottom. So what are you going to say? You want to be optimistic, but you're thinking, no way. And Jonathan Berry put up some math there on the Daily Dirt saying, well, okay, if they beat Ukraine 4-0, then this happens. If they beat Ukraine 3.5-0, you're like, okay, well, that's a fantasy. Well, okay, as the saying goes, fantasies do come true, not just in Hollywood, but apparently in Dresden, because it looked like Nakamura was pounding Karjakin with black out of this Sicilian, and Schulman even had a bit of an in-game plus with black against Efimenko, and it turned out Nakamura had to settle for a draw, so it was 2.5 to 0 to 0.5, and suddenly all eyes turned to Schulman in a very long rook in-game that we're going to take a glance at later. Actually beat Zahar Efimenko, and the United States stomped the Ukraine 3.5-0. And suddenly it was just a scramble for counting tiebreak points. They got such a massive boost in their tiebreaks from that huge victory that, according to Jonathan Berry, if they'd won by 3-1, for example, if that last in-game had been drawn, Ukraine would have gotten the bronze, but instead it was the United States getting its second consecutive bronze medal. Amazing. A team staffed with four U.S. champions, former champion Yuri Schulman, and three former champions, Onuschuk, Nakamura, and Kamsky, as well as reserve Kobe, also doing work. So really, I mean, again, it's the bronze, but when you look at how they did it, beating Ukraine 3.5 on demand in the final round, that is something else. The silver, we can't overlook Israel beating Netherlands today, thanks to a second board win by Michael Royce against Jan Smets, and that was the difference. That was the decider there, the other three games drawn. And you can quibble a bit with Israel's somewhat lucky path to the medals. Again, not blaming them whatsoever. They don't make the pairings. They just go and play the matches. But they really did not face many of the top teams. They did beat Armenia when it counted, though. So you can't discard their triumph. But really, they didn't face many of the top teams, even as many as the U.S. Certainly not Armenia, which played a ridiculously strong schedule, and China as well. So the reason, of course, the additional help that the United States needed, all this spectacular victory would have gone, well, it's hard to say to waste, because it still would have been a spectacular victory, but it would have gone to waste as far as medals go, were it not for Spain somehow drawing against Russia. Russia just looked listless. They would have won the bronze if they just won a single game, and they could not generate a win. Kramnik, Svidler, Grischuk, Yakovenko just looked out of gas and were actually in trouble on a few boards here. In fact, it looked like they were going to lose a few, but it was almost as if the Spaniards had took mercy on them, and that match finished in a draw with four drawn games, and that kept Russia out of contention. They had superior tiebreaks, and had they won just a single game there, they would have taken the bronze from the USA. But instead, Russia, for the second consecutive Olympiad, goes home without a medal. Yakovenko is going to get the individual gold. We'll take a look at that in a minute for board five, but that's not what you come to the Olympiad for when you're Russia with the highest rated team in Olympiad history, and really a humbling scenario for them, and a lot of questions to be asked for them. I mean, again, for them it's gold or nothing, and here they've got less than that. I mean, they don't even consider the silver worthy, and here they are finishing in a massive tie for fifth to, you know, 5 millionth in this big pack. So that was it as far as the medals go. They had France and Azerbaijan as well finished in a win for Azerbaijan. There's a strange marking there. It looks like what would be for a forfeit for Kachav, and it's wondering if the French fourth board finish came late or something. That has not been clarified to me, but that is possible, and they gave the match to Azerbaijan, but they were out of the medals at that point. Let's take a look at our final rankings here after 11 rounds. You can see Armenia there. This is in medal order, and you've got that tiebreak there on the right that shows the points for the tiebreaks based on board points and strength of opponents, successive opponent, really. So you see there, and you also see the seedings. Look at that. The 8, 9, and 10 seeds in the match, in the event there, Armenia, Israel, U.S., finishing ahead of 1, 2, 3, and 4 down there. So it's certainly not all about the rating. You can see not a single team undefeated. Ukraine actually getting their first loss of the entire event today in that drubbing from the United States. So you can see how close it was. Actually, that's not terribly close, that fairly big gap. It could have been a lot closer depending on how other matches had gone down the line, but apparently the previous opponents of the United States had a better day than the previous opponents of Ukraine. That widened the gap a little bit there for the bronze. And you can see that big pack there at 16 as well. We can scroll down a bit, get a look at some of the other teams down there. You see Bulgaria with Veselin Topalov, who did not play today, I believe, finishing pretty poor shape there, losing three matches despite his good efforts. Magnus Carlsen's Norway started out great and settled back. Serbia popped into the radar suddenly in the top boards briefly with a very underpowered team. And same thing you could say with England, which didn't look like they're having a great result, but we're in medal contention with a few rounds to go. And again, they ended up losing to... drawing with Croatia today. So very inconsistent. And again, these pairings created some rather distorted effects, in my opinion. France not looking too impressive either, finishing down there, losing three matches with that high-ranked team. So let's get back to the top there. So Armenia gold, Israel silver, United States repeating as the bronze medal winner. And the big favorites, Ukraine, Russia, Azerbaijan, and China, out of the medals completely. So Hungary as well. There you go, 1 through 5. Right there in that pack with 16 points, and then Ukraine with 17. But because of the magnitude of their loss today, they just needed one more draw on that against the U.S., and they could not get it. And in fact, apparently the U.S. captain, John Donaldson, a buddy of mine, was under the impression that the U.S. was still going to finish fourth. And I guess he's not a dirt reader because, again, Jonathan Berry, this followed his scenario pretty much exactly, that if the U.S. won by 3.5 and if Spain managed to draw or beat Russia, then the U.S. would win on tiebreaks, and that is just what happened. So congratulations to everybody, especially Armenia, for repeating as gold medal winners. And that is not an easy thing to do. And the way they did it, especially coming back after that tough loss to Israel, it looked like they were out of gas. And they came back and playing again a very, very tough field here. I mean, they've been leading since near the beginning. They've been one of the top teams putting up big scores. And they faced Ukraine, and they've had Azerbaijan, they had Russia, they had France, Israel, China in this final round. So, I mean, they did not skip any of the heavyweights at all en route to their gold. So, congratulations to them. Again, Israel, you can't really say that about, once again, not their fault, but they came through only here at the very end, facing Armenia and Ukraine in the final rounds, and to scoot in and get that. Okay, you know, winning one and losing one even. So they managed to get through to that silver, though, saving, I guess, their energy. I'm not sure how to explain it. These things are too confusing. And USA, just that heroic last-round effort. Really exciting stuff. So congrats to them. Let's go ahead and take a glance now at the women's final results here. Some more excitement here in the final round. And there we see Georgia. Good old Georgia, the classic. It used to be it was kind of like who was going to finish second. I mean, Georgia won so many prizes through the years, just, you know, absolutely terrifying. I mean, of course, back the Soviet team used to basically be Georgia, even when it was the USSR. It was mostly Soviet players, including the players still playing first board for Georgia. Maya Chiburdanidze, women's world champion back in 1978, I think. I mean, just, you know, a real veteran in a young person's sport, and still doing work, beating little Hu Yifan the other day to take out China and make a move on the medals here at the end, and they beat Ukraine on tiebreaks. And speaking of tiebreaks, there's the USA, another bronze on tiebreaks for the USA. So both the U.S. women and men's teams getting those bronze medals on tiebreaks with nice final round and, you know, pushes, really. But it was Georgia coming up, they beat Serbia today 3-1, and it was, let's see, we had... see Ukraine here as well, taking out taking out Poland in the final round. That's what caused this bit of a tie. Poland looked like the favorite coming up, and really they couldn't hold on to it at the end and even finished out of the medals, and they'd been doing very well up until this point. So really kind of a heartbreaker for the Polish team to finish out of the medals after being near the lead. Another heartbreaker again, Russia out of the medals once again, losing it on tie breaks by a wide margin to the U.S. team. And what can you say? Russia came in number one ranked. You see those seeding numbers next to the flags there on the left, and Russia coming in with a big rating, but not being able to back it up. I mean, they just got slowed down by a bunch of drawn matches after leading early, not being able to pull it off. So there it is, Georgia, Ukraine, and U.S. Again, Ukraine pulling it out here at the end, winning 2.5 to 1.5 against Poland today. And while Georgia beat Serbia, and the U.S. needing a last-minute win by Golatiani against Sylvia Kolas there to win just 2.5, 1.5. Looked bad for the U.S. at first. Irina Krush, my Brooklyn homegirl, losing on board one, but Ronyan, who had a great event, won on board four, and then the tension was on, and Golatiani finally brought home that last point and brought the bronze medal. So the U.S. two bronzes. They have what they call the Gabrin Dashvili Cup, which is for the best combined between the open, what used to be called the men's, the open event, and the women's event. And you can pretty much tell just by eyeballing it that Ukraine came out tops there with Armenia, and then the U.S. Coming third as far as best combined result of both teams. So no, I don't know if they give. I don't know if they give any real extra medals for that, but. Anyway, so congratulations to Georgia and Maya Chibudinidze, the old classic coming in. I think she's got to be, 47, 48 years old now, but still holding down first board. And I believe she also, we're going to see the medals here in just a minute, won the gold for board prizes. The board prizes are based on rating performance now. They used to do it percentage-wise, and they may still give out something on that. I don't know. The whole thing is got so silly because you'd have these fairly weak players on weak teams running up fairly big scores or getting up decent scores and then stopping. I mean, they'd pull them out of the event so they wouldn't hurt their percentages, and they would hold on and win the golds. And meanwhile, you'd have all these top players putting up great scores against very strong opposition and not getting any individual medals. And so they turned it into performance rating, and that's what we're going to see here on the next clip here. There we go. Those are just the golds on each board. Those are decided by best rating performance. So we see, and Peter Lako, this was a narrow thing. He wasn't going to do it. It looked like Boris Gelfand had it in the bag until the very end of one of the last games, if not the very last game to finish, was Peter Lako's win today. And that edged him by a single performance point ahead of Boris Gelfand, 28-34 to 28-33. Again, both of them being, having great performances, obviously, but also not facing a lot of top 10 competition during much of the event. But Lako putting up a big score there and winning that individual gold on board one. Boris Gelfand second, Veselin Topalov third in that one there, all with performance ratings over 2,800. Then we have, there it is, Armenia, Akopian. They're putting in a great showing, another 2,800-plus performance rating there for the Armenian board, too. He was followed by Vallejo of Spain and Katronius of Greece for board 2 honors. Also, some other strong players there, Predijevic, Nigel Short, Karyakin, all turning in very good work on board 2. Board 3, another Armenian, Sargsyan, another great performance from him, scoring 9 out of 11. Again, the Armenians played more games than just about anybody. They almost all played 10 or 11 games for Armenia. Their reserve only played one game. Manassian played one single game the entire event. So I think Aronian took one rest. Everybody else played 11 games, so they have some high percentages. Sargsyan with 9 out of 11 and a 28-69 performance rating. That is higher than even than anybody on boards 1 or 2 or any other board. So that was actually the highest performance rating of the entire event, was Sargsyan on board 3 for Armenia with this incredible 28-69. Then you had Gashimov of Azerbaijan put in a good performance, 6.5 out of 9, and actually Tiger Hill Out Persson of Sweden with a nice 8 out of 10 on board 3. Would get the bronze individual medal for board 3. And board 4, the name you may not be familiar with, Dragica Blagojevic of Montenegro, took 8 out of 9. It's like he may not be a household name, but he did work on board 4. What can you say? 8 out of 9 with a performance rating of nearly 2,800. Alexander Delchev of Bulgaria with the silver on board 4. And that's his second consecutive medal individual. I believe he had a great performance in Turin as well. And then Germany won, a team that had a lot of great performances, really solid, although they trailed off toward the end. It's harder. You can't forget, for the first 5 or 6 rounds, Germany won, was right there in the leaders. And Daniel Friedman, their board 4, a big reason for that, with a 7 out of 10 score, did a lot of good work there. So Efimenko trailed off here. He was the hero yesterday, or in round 10, but of course he lost today, kind of knocked him off a bit. I thought he was a good contender for a medal on board 4. And board 5, one of Russia's only medals, Dmitry Yakovenko, getting with 7 out of 9, a nearly 2,800 performance rating as well for Yakovenko. So they do get at least some individual material here, and with that big result there from Yakovenko, silver for Rodstein of Israel, who did well, and Ferenc Berks of Hungary with the bronze. So there are individual medals for the men, and then we go to the women's side, and there she is, Maya Chiburdanidze. Again, can't be complimentary enough. The veteran taking home the gold medal for board 1. Again, beating Hu Yifan in that critical match against China the other day. Hu Yifan actually gets bronze on board 1. Martika Fierro, 7.5 out of 8, but against pretty weak opposition for the most part. Not her fault, but her teammates of Ecuador aren't really that as strong as she is, so she cleans up on board 1, which is kind of a standard method for winning. But individual medals, but still a 2,600 performance rating for Fierro on, and so she gets the silver on board 1. Board 2, Anna Zatonsky, a good friend, and congrats to her with an 8 out of 10 score on board 2. Very nicely done, playing behind Irina Krush, who was up on board 1, who had a pretty good showing herself, actually, but tough up there. A lot of these, the women's teams are pretty lopsided as far as strength, and so board 1 and board 2 tend to be a lot stronger than when you drop down. So if you're always up on board 1, like Irina was, it can be a pretty rough ride, and she still came out with a plus score. I think she was plus 3, actually, 6.5 out of 10. So, but Anna Zatonska with the gold individual, and then Natalia Zhukova, the silver of Ukraine, and Armenian Lilit Mirkjian, with a nice 8 out of 11, again playing all 11 rounds for the bronze. Board 3, there's another individual gold for Russia, Nadeza of the Kosintseva sisters, getting the gold medal there on board 3. Her sister Tatiana played on board 2, but only had a 50% score. So nicely done there. And then silver individual, Rusudan Golatiani of the USA. And go Rusa. So a lot of medals for the American team this time around. And then Edilko Madl, another veteran for Hungary, getting the bronze on board 3. And then we have Majan from Poland, gold on board 4. Let's see, a Cuban women's international master, nice last name, Oleni Linares. Last name Linares, scoring 9 out of 10 on board 4. Yeah, how can you go wrong with the last name Linares? She got quite a bit of attention in the Cuban press, actually. Several of the Cuban girls, quite young and looking very good here as far as their results go. Maybe some up-and-coming women's chess players in Cuba. And then Maya Lominashvili for Georgia with a good performance, getting the bronze on board 4. And then we have on board 5 the reserves, Natalia Zebskaya for Ukraine with 7 out of 8 with the gold. And then we have Marianne Gomez of India with the silver, and Alina Matoc of Romania for the bronze. So there we go, all of our individual medals. Let's take you back here to, might as well finish before we head to our game section real quick with those final standings. So congrats to all of the medal winners, and a lot of great performances, a lot of great games in general for this event. The board pairing, the pairings, weird throughout. Let's just put it at that. I don't know what to say. You've heard me complain about it a lot. So let's go ahead and get to the games instead of starting on another little wind-up about that. So let's take a look here. This one, of course, the key game in the key match. This is Petrosian versus Li Chao here. And this got messy, and it looked like Li Chao had some chances. Of course, he wanted to win, and he took some risks and paid for them big time here. He could have actually played rook to d2 here and gone for counter chances that way, but instead he tries to walk his king up to avoid getting mated. Again, it's so easy for computers to play this sort of thing and say, oh, well, you're not going to get mated back there. Well, alright, you know, let's take a look at that. Rook d2, g4, this just looks absolutely menacing for black. I mean, it's just not a human thing to do to leave your king back there. Look at this. It just looks like mate on a stick. I mean, you have to realize that black can get back with check on b2 to get his rook back to the first rank there to cover the mates, and just a nightmare. You just don't go into this sort of thing. I mean, look at this. This is crazy. This is probably still winning for white, by the way. I'm not saying it's not, but according to the computer, this is best defense. But yeesh, I mean, that's tough to play. So let's go back, see how the game actually continued. He walked his king up, again, trying to stay out of those mating nets, and he ended up just getting cut apart here. And Petrosian, you know, playing it quite solidly, not worried about hanging on to everything or playing for mate, just creeping up. Plays a real nice little, what we call a grandmaster move here in just a second after this check, pushing the king back. And here, here's a nice touch here. Of course, they're past time control, so he has plenty of time to find good stuff. C3, exclam, nice. Controls the b4 square, so there are no tricky checks there on the king to get the rooks back in action to block that pawn. So after rook e4, now f6. So I think, again, most people just play f6 immediately, and then after rook checks on b4, the rook gets back, and, you know, okay, you got a lot more work. But now it's just over. There's no way for to get anywhere near stopping that pawn. Very nicely done. So f7, and Li Chao resigns, and Armenia wins the gold. So there's the key one there. Again, you got to be strong top to bottom, and Armenia winning on board 4 there. So Aronian has actually had a fairly discreet performance on board 1. I mean, you got to figure these guys are, you know, you need your whole team operating, but you figure when you have a big gun like Aronian, that he's going to turn in a big score, and that's going to be a big part of it, of your victory. And he certainly didn't do badly, but especially considering his competition, but he actually underperformed his rating just a little bit. He was just plus 1. He had 2 wins and a loss, and a whole bunch of draws there. So 7 draws. So really, he wasn't the motoring. Of course, he lost that key game, actually, to Gelfand against Israel. It looked like it might have cost them the gold medal. So really, the other guys, especially, again, those individual medal winners, Sargsyan and Akopian, doing work on the other boards. And here's Petrosian as well, doing very nicely. His final score, I think, was 7.5 out of 11. So, again, 3 of the 4 players on Armenia played all 11 rounds. Do not underestimate how much effort that takes. They only had 2 free days. All right, let's take a look here. And all the games, you know, this is where the action was, again, with so many of the top boards being drawn, a lot of tentative play, but meanwhile, these guys were just going at it, even though apparently they didn't realize that they, you know, had to must win. Again, from what we've heard post facto, the Americans didn't realize they had good medal chances no matter what. Even after this, they said, okay, we came in 4th, and John Donaldson, the team captain, had to call everybody back and say, no, wait, we won the medal. So it's pretty crazy. This is just a nice piece of work by Kamsky. This is just the last sort of thing you want against him. He's just such a great grinder. He's got that fine positional sense, and he's just going to twist and twist and twist until you're doomed. And that's what he does here. The Kamsky's had much less success against, you know, real dynamic, aggressive stuff. And I fought Ivanchuk, who should also have been playing for a win, perhaps with black, knowing that Ukraine needed a win probably to get the gold. But instead he went with his French, which, again, Ivanchuk can play anything on any day and look like a genius or a jerk. He's just that inconsistent and that talented. But here he just gets completely smashed by Kamsky. We'll see this very nice move here. A5 is a nice exclam move to finally break through here, make some progress. And we'll see here if he takes with the knight, then queen comes over here to A4, and that simultaneously threatens rook takes knight on a5, winning a piece because the black queen is hanging. So that would win a piece, and it also threatens bishop takes rook on h6 at the same time. So that's the winning threat there. So if you had to take with the b pawn, and now it's infiltration city, and Kamsky just makes short work. We'll go ahead and run through how well Gatta plays this. Just grind and grind and grind. Just gives him nothing the whole time. Little king shuffle here. All right, getting closer to the time control. D4, locking things up. Again, some players might have gone for C4, trying to rip things open. Kamsky, no way. I'm locking it up. I've got plenty of time to grind you. Queen D7. Queen B5, stepping in. Queen C8, rook A1. All right, now, you know, again, Ivanchuk's just kind of waiting to see what Kamsky's going to come up with, and he comes up with this. Here's the infiltration, finally, the decisive breakthrough, and after the knight retreats, here, knight g5 check, and that's a cruncher, because the king cannot retreat, so he has to give up the exchange here, after which it's very easy. If the king goes back, this is just clockwork here, takes, and check, and that's going to end things very quickly. Boom, boom, and the whole black position falls apart. So can't do that, so he has to give up the exchange, and now it's a piece of cake for Kamsky, you know, with the extra material and a passed c-pawn. Just, okay, let's swap, shall we? Thank you very much. And here on the last move of time control, Ivanchuk resigns on move 40. So very nicely done by Gatta there. And that one was over quick. Here's the other one. And this one, again, looked even better for white, or for the USA. Hikaru Nakamura here with the black pieces, getting the best of Karjakin, who has been a good client of Hikaru's in the past, has kind of taken off on the ratings, but so they haven't met very often. You get Karjakin got a lot of, you know, relatively good invitations, but Karu, of course, stomped him in a match they played in Mexico. This was quite a few years ago, but they were kind of there as both as, you know, prodigies and such, but Hikaru really stomped him, and apparently whatever voodoo he has is not letting up in this one, because here he's gotten the better of him, and it's ended up fizzling to a draw after queen c5 and now rook a3, and now that pawn just isn't quite strong enough to survive after the rook goes back. Nicely done here. Very good defense by Karjakin here. Very good move there, f6, to get some counterplay just when he needs it. And here Hikaru just went for liquidation. He could have played rook d2 and kept some chances maybe there, but it looks like white's defenses. There we go. There's the key move, f7, and that creates enough there to liquidate. And this game was drawn here. Just zip through those final moves. Okay, if not, the bishop's going to go there to d1 and take that pawn. So that one was agreed drawn. Now, going back to that starting position, it looked like black could have, again, this is the final move of the time control, we're assuming some time trouble was involved, but after bishop b7, it looks like white is toast. There's really not much that can be done about all the threats. Queen c6 is a threat. Now the pawn's going to move. It's just there's too much going on. The rook's going to come to d8 in some lines and come to d2, so really a lot of brutal threats here. And if takes, you know, for example, just e2, if knight takes, now queen f2, and there's the threat of that bishop there on b7 with the mate threat, so lots of nasty stuff. So maybe bishop b7, and it could have been a 4-0. So it's kind of amazing to say that even though the match was 3.5 to half, that it could have been worse, but it definitely could have been. So interestingly, earlier in that, there was a repetition possibility, but right out of the opening, that again, Nakamura not realizing perhaps that the US still had medal chances if everybody won, and Karjakin also assuming, I'm sure, that Karjakin would refuse it, not accede to an 11 move repetition draw with white in such a key match. But still, it was kind of funny to see this two time repetition there in the opening. All right, and here's Onischuk doing work here against Elyanov, and this is some nice stuff here. Again, if you're looking at the board, you're looking for weaknesses, got this crazy situation. This is that same, you may recognize the structure, this is that same variation of the Grunfeld that Nakamura played against Mamedyarov and lost with earlier on in the event. And but apparently the U.S. prepared it, or they found an improvement, and it worked out nicely for Onuschuk. Very double-edged stuff. Great line to play if you need a win, or if a draw doesn't help you, basically. You may lose, but you're going to get a decisive result. Very sharp stuff. And here he is in action. Now, watch this. Again, you're looking for weaknesses. You're probably not focusing on the A7 pawn, but you should be, because Onuschuk, watch this here, comes in. All right, queen a6, and now the threat is just queen to b7, and it starts getting difficult for black to hold things. That c-pawn starts becoming a threat, and of course he's got to watch out for his knight there on g7, so he's got to hold on, so he wants to prevent that. Now here we come, rook over, and suddenly a7 is hanging. And black goes for counterplay against f2, and he could have just played rook f1 here, trying to hold things down, but instead he takes there, allows that capture, and allows things to keep getting messy, and basically he just outplays Elyanov here toward the end, takes, and that c-pawn, this is some nicely calculated stuff, there's a fork, but gets out of it here, takes, and this is a difficult position to evaluate, but the two bishops get loose, and that c-pawn just becomes a monster, and that's enough for Onuschuk to bring home the point. There we go. So, nicely done here, and this is all pretty much just just the little finale here, but there's really no hope for it at this point. That c-pawn is just too strong. Onuschuk plays it with great precision as usual, getting to the time control there at move 40, and after move 41, bishop f4, black resigned. He can't do anything about bishop g5 coming next to win at least the exchange, and probably a whole piece very quickly. So nicely done by Onuschuk. And so then it was up to Yuri Shulman with the black pieces against Efimenko, who's been a hero. He's been playing at a 2800 level and doing great, and here they are, and Shulman's been better for a while, but now we're settling into one of these fateful rook endgames, and thinking, oh no, there must be some sort of theoretical draw here somewhere. And indeed, it looks like after king g2, this is impossible to win. You can take the pawn, but after rook over here, there's no way to make progress. Again, theoretical draw. This doesn't mean that, you know, with humans playing that you'd be able to necessarily hold it. It's not easy. But still, this is a book draw, and it's just not that, you know, there's no way to really make good progress there, because you have to push your pawn forward, then you get checked, etc. But again, not saying that it would have been drawn, but it would have been... Shulman would have had to produce some magic, and Efimenko would have had to have produced a blunder to lose that. So instead, he produced a blunder right away with rook b3, and holding onto his pawn. Greed kills. Now f3, and the king. Now, when the king comes up, it's too late. He's a tempo behind. He gets checked back, and there it is. Because, okay, if he goes back, then the king comes up to g3, and it's an easy one. So here, he tries to hold on, but too late. King g3, king d4, okay, and resigns, realizing that basically any move wins here. King g2 is just going to queen the pawn, and he has plenty of time to get the rook back. So nicely done there by Shulman, but that could have been it. I mean, all Efimenko needed to do. Not all. We can make it sound like it's easy, but if Efimenko had managed to draw that, it looks like, even though they would have lost the match 3-1, that would have been enough to give Ukraine the bronze on those tie breaks. So that was actually, it turned into a crucial situation on that fourth board. So congratulations to U.S. champion Yuri Shulman for pulling that one out. Really clutch. That's the fun stuff about chess, is winning on demand. Great clutch play there by Team USA in that final round. Also by Armenia, solid throughout to get that gold medal today, beating China as well. So not easy to do at all, and a major choke from Ukraine in a big way. I mean, you're the second seed losing 3.5-0.5 in the final round is not something you see very often in Olympiad. One of the most remarkable Olympiad results I have ever seen, for sure. So really an unusual one. There's our finals cross table once again. And again, Armenia gold, USA silver, USA bronze. And over in the women's, Georgia gold, Ukraine silver, USA once again a bronze. So again, underdog teams there. Number one seed Russia finishing out of it. Number three seed China out of it. No medals for China. Highly touted in both the open and the women's events, not getting it done. So great event overall. Again, I'm still not happy with some of these rules. There are our medal winners. Give you one last glance at them. Those are for the gold medal winners only on each board. Take a last glance at those as well. Nicely done from Peter Lako on board one for Hungary. And the two stalwarts there for the Armenian team, individual gold as well as that team gold. Very impressive from Armenia. So that's it, folks. That's the Dresden Olympiad. And thank you for joining me with all these podcasts and for joining ICC Chess FM. Hope you're checking out Macaulay Peterson's great video blog at chessclub.com, as well as all of our games of the day and other good stuff. And I hope you've had fun watching the games live with all the hooligans on ICC. It's been great as ever to all of them. Thanks for all your emails and comments, questions, and suggestions, of course. And thanks to everybody as well who's been hanging out at the Daily Dirt blog as well at chessninja.com. So until next time, this has been Mick Gringard for ICC Chess FM.